from the front line, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yes, it is.
Forum
for the Fans, Steve and Chris, the Bleed Blue Show, the platform.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit of KGYR. We're going to talk a little bit of Yankee spring training. Knicks and Rangers on the West Coast, a little late far past our bedtime. And, of course, the New York Football Giants roundtable. Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the stakeholders. Christopher, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, man. I'm here, man. I'm trying to follow my idol, you know, Mr. Steve, man. And maybe we can see what the heck, you know, give a really, really good recap to people that we love, which is, you know, all in blue, four teams, some in pinstripes, some in orange. Let's see where it takes us. Let's see what we can do with this.
On the March Madness tip, be real quick. Now, yesterday I tried to get into the flow of things, Chris, as far as getting into the game. There were two blowouts, mm-hmm. So I didn't really watch. Matter of fact, if you really want to get deep with it, it was blowouts not only in the two playing games last night, but also in the state of Florida. Rubio taking an L like that to Donald. I mean, there was blowouts on the sports front, the political front. Any thoughts on the college basketball and the politics before we get into the squad? He's done.
My thoughts on college basketball is I think we're going to see an upset, Steve. I think there's going to be something that's going to surprise us. Because after our show, in case you know, you fans are listening and stakeholders are listening, we had a podcast. It was kind of impromptu for myself, where Steve him and I went through the brackets real quick, and I hadn't really studied the brackets as well as I should have by that point. But after reviewing them these last two or three days, I see where we have a lot this year. There are a lot of strong 11 seed teams, you know, 11 and 12 seed teams. They are really strong teams here. And I think I smell an upset at least four ways. And if you don't mind, Steve, I'd like to go over them real quick.
Please do.
We have to do the thing. I think Wichita State, which is number 11, I have to look at the region, but number 11 Wichita State can take number 6 Arizona. You know why? They have seniors that are experienced. Okay, they've had teams these guys have gone through, have been to a Final Four, have been through almost an undefeated season, a Sweet 16. There's really some continuity here. And this is not your ordinary number 11 team, man. Some people think that they're favored. They're probably better than every single team on the 10 line on every region. They're really, really good. Now, Arizona's deeper, you know, and they have talented players. But when you've got guys that have been around for 3 years in college basketball these days, that's a long time. That's almost like saying 10 years for a major league infield. You know, these guys are experienced. They know each other. They know what it takes to win. They've had the above experience that I just talked about a little bit ago about, you know, going through the undefeated season and stuff like that, nearly undefeated season. And I think it's going to be difficult for Arizona this year. That's one team. Then I'm looking at a team that I don't even know. Number 12, Little Rock. Okay. Every year there's like a number 12 that faces a number 5 and gives them hell, and I think this is that year. Little Rock, I had to do some tape on them, Steve. I had to really go and really look at them, see what they consist of, and they had a hell of a backcourt, man. They got a guy named Josh Hagans who is not a slouch. He can definitely go in the draft too. This team also shoots about 40% from the field. From the three-point line, and they have a tendency to bring opposing defenses out from their zone to challenge them one on one, and that's a recipe for disaster in a one-and-done NCAA games like this. You know, Purdue can rebound, but here's the thing. It doesn't seem like Little Rock misses. So we're gonna see what happens there, you know. Then there's another one. I would save the best for last, but there's four of them. The other one is, and this is gonna you're probably gonna look at me and say you gotta be out of your mind. But don't be surprised if Cal State Bakersfield, yes, that's their name, gives Oklahoma some hell. Just don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. They're very, very. Because Oklahoma, as you know, because you've seen them this year, they can go cold in some spots, man. They can go, you know, two or three minutes without making a shot, and they get frustrated and start fouling. That works to Cal State's advantage, man, because, you know, Cal State is one of those patient teams that goes all the way down in the clock before they hit their three-point shooter. That always happens to be in the right spot. And teams like that, teams like Oklahoma, who are run and gun and high powered and energetic and athletic, they tend to, you know, aggravate and frustrate teams. You know, it just can be ugly. It just be ugly, man. And you know, Bakersfield, I found out they don't give up a lot of three-point attempts either. So what happens when you get frustrated? You start throwing three-pointers, and then Bakersfield doesn't allow it. So that could be a problem right there. So that's another one. And the last one, man, look, I'm going to put it out. Well, no, there's a couple more. I think I know I picked Bob Huggins the other night, but Stephen F. Austin, you know, they play physical basketball. And when they play physical basketball, it becomes a possession thing. And when it becomes a possession thing, you know, then rebounds and turnovers and fouls occur. Watch out for that for Stephen F. Austin, because their execution style, you know, their execution style. If the Mountaineers are over aggressive, you know, and tend to miss, then hey, Stephen F. Austin will try to force turnovers with their half court defense. Watch out. Just watch out. That's just another thing. But the one I like, and I got to get to this right quick because I've been waiting all day to say this to you. Number 13, UNC Wilmington. I think they could actually take Duke.
I'll put money on it. This is not Mercer. I'll put money on it.
I don't know. this is about ball pressure on the guard. And you don't have your Tyus, what was his name last year? Tyus, with the NBA.
Yeah, Jones. Yeah,
you don't have Tyus Jones, and you don't have your Kyrie Irvings, and you don't have those kind of guys there this year, you know? Now, look, Duke teams don't turn the ball often, turn the ball over often, but these guards are not steady, okay? And they're going to be relying on putting the ball up, I mean, getting the ball down low. The guys like Grayson Allen and what's the other guy's name, Ingram, stuff like that. And I don't see – and UNC Wilmington, they're a great half-court offense, I mean defense. And that might work in their favor, man, because this particular Duke team, they don't have a lot of depth, bro. They don't. Now, Wilmington, they're foul heavy. They're physical, but that might not play well for the Duke Blue Devil, okay? So what they need to do is they need to have Grayson Allen come up with a gigantic game. He has to come off with 25 points, man, in order for this to work, you know? And Ingram's a freak as well, man. He can do things, you know. He's this year's Justice Winslow, so he could do things too. But I don't know, man. It's not going to be an easy game this time, and I don't see a 12 point win here. So I'm looking at that game and going, oh boy, what can happen?
Yeah.
So look out, man. That's what I'm saying with the NCAA's March Madness this year. Look out.
We will be on the lookout. We'll probably have to follow up sometime next week to see how the results went in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Looks forward to it. I look forward to it, and also with the game starting Thursday, the real officially starts to me on Thursday at noon.
That's
good insight on the 11th season. I'll keep my eye on it. I'll look into the Duke game, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see, have some fun.
Yes, sir.
Let me see real quick. Let me say something about the New York Rangers and Rangers fans is panicking over the weekend losses to Detroit Saturday, Pittsburgh Sunday. Right now, the Rangers do have a tough road ahead of them to a degree. They have a couple of the West Coast games starting tonight at Anaheim. Then they have the next night versus a very tough Los Angeles Kings team. Then they go up the up the Bay to play San Jose, kind of following the same tracks as the Knicks did this past week. The Knicks had the two games in L.A. and playing Golden State tonight. God bless the Knicks on this one, but we got to play Golden State. But as far as the Rangers are concerned, there is a little bit concern. I can understand why some Rangers fans feel the way they do, because if you look in the last week or two, I mean, your only win per se, your really quality win was the win at Washington versus the Capitals with Ranta playing backup. And then outside of that, you had the win versus the Sabres, and you could check out that podcast that I did on that post game on the archives of BleeBlueShow.com. But there is a little bit of concern. Rangers have not been sharp. They haven't been sharp since I was at the game in Dallas versus the Stars. So the Rangers have been a little bit up and down, man. Now, here's the good news. Rick Nash is coming back. He's coming back.
Yes.
Now, you add him to the lines with Broussard, Zuccarello. Then also the acquisition of Eric Staal, who's been playing. He's starting to play a little bit better. He played a lot better in the that Sunday game at the home. I think it was Washington. No, it wasn't Washington. I can't remember. The Islanders, my bad. It was the Islander game where the Rangers, you know, that's the game where it was seven goals in the first period between the both teams. Now we're going to start to hit a little bit of a stride. I would be surprised. No, it may be a little tough tonight with Corey, with Perry in the net. We got going against Anaheim and that deep squad they do. They're a very good team. And then LA's no slouch. They're very, very good squad. Let's get through these two LA games first, and then let's try to build a little bit of momentum heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs. On top of that, you still need to get these 2 points each weekend and week out and stay ahead of the Islanders, because you're going to end up facing somebody like
that. I was going to ask you about that because they caught them. I see they caught them.
You think, Chris, let me ask you this from afar, because you mentioned it a few times in old school hockey. You think that rivalry with the Rangers and the Islanders, now you got a Manhattan versus Brooklyn element to that, if that was to happen in the playoffs, you think that could be just as bad as what it was in the late 70s, early 80s?
I absolutely do. As intense as it was from Long Island to Manhattan, this one is hell of a lot more intense. And let me tell you something. Now that they got caught, trust me, Brooklyn is watching. Streets is watching, as they say in Brooklyn. Okay? Look, the Islanders fans are ecstatic right now that they caught the Rangers. I don't know what their podcast consists of. I don't know what their fan base is saying right now. But I'm going to let you know right now, being a New Yorker and being as close to the Islanders, I grew up in Queens, New York, after living in Brooklyn, New York for the first 10 years of my life. And let me tell you something. There is a lot of smack being talked right now, and it is dangerous. So, yes, the momentum right now as far as fandom is right now on the Islanders' side. They are talking smack in Brooklyn. I know they are. Let me tell you something, and you know this. I haven't been to an Islander Ranger game this year, but I can guarantee you, if there was one in Madison Square Garden in the third period, you definitely heard a loud chant of "Pont Vaughn sucks, Pont Vaughn sucks, Pont Vaughn sucks," and Pont Vaughn has been retired since maybe 84 ish, maybe. Because there is a hated rivalry there. And let me tell you, the Rangers have a lot of rivalries, man. They must have about at least six that I could think of. But this one is a little bit closer to home. and it's getting and it's got closer this year with the move of the Islanders from Long Island to Nassau County to Brooklyn. So yes, that weighs heavy not only on the Rangers' head, but trust me, the Islanders fans are ecstatic right now, and that has just pumped them up. You know, and also the Islanders have the tiebreaker this year, man. They have a game in the standing as well.
You're right.
So this is
And they played one fewer game. They're tied in points. Now the Rangers need to get in a position where the regular season wins and the overtime wins. They had the tiebreaker on that, but that's more down the line in the tiebreaker rankings. But right now the Islanders are the home team if they were to face. I don't like this matchup at all. This was the beat. It can't be done.
But
not
you said
season.
It at the beginning of this quote, at the beginning of this thing. It helps that Rick Nash is being reunited with Zuccarello.
Yeah, but you
got
to get into a flow, though. It, you know, 13 games, that might be enough games to get some legs on your, you know, some legs on your skates. But, man, the Islanders played the Rangers very well the last couple of seasons. There's certain teams. I ranked them a few times on the podcast with the rink. I say Tampa Bay and Islanders have given the Rangers fits in the East. I'm just talking about Eastern Conference teams first. This year, especially Washington.
Oh yeah.
And I thought we had the Penguins number for the majority of the season. In the last two games, they just dropped the puck, however you want to say it. They looked flat versus the Penguins. They went up to Consol Energy Center and got smoked in that second period versus Sidney Crosby and them. And three goals in 2 minutes? And then the game at the Garden. This past Sunday. They've looked a real suspect versus quality opponents. Now, hockey is probably the most parallel sport of the four. You could get, like college basketball, you could get hot, you get on the road as the 8 seed.
Right.
That's how polarizing this sport is. But on paper, man, I do not like this matchup versus the Islanders at all. I do not like
And another thing you got to understand too, Steve, well, not you got to understand, you're the guru here. I got to understand, and the rest of the fans got to understand. You know, look, man, this is what you just said, it was like the first, like a back-to-back that they're doing over here. They got to go to
They're in Anaheim tonight. They're at LA tomorrow night. Then I think
tomorrow,
a couple of days
okay.
at San Jose up the coast versus the Sharks.
Wow. So is Lundqvist playing tonight?
No, Ranta is in that tonight. Ranta should be playing tonight.
He better be on his game. Because
a backup goalie, he's decent. You know, he does all right.
Well, but this is an important swing, man. I mean, you know. Kings, it's just he looked good against the Sabres, so I'll give him that. So maybe I'll just be.
But it's
you know,
yeah,
I'll,
but at
I'll
the same of, time, it is the Sabres, a young team who's trying to find their way to get back into hockey lore. They're trying to find their way. They're a long way from the Rangers, and the Rangers had to beat them. They had to get 2 points out of them. So
okay, but there's no injuries on the Rangers that I could think of off the top of my
head. Oh, you got a. I mean, you got like I said, you got Tanner Glass. That's more on the fourth line right now. You got McAriff. He's day to day with that knee injury. But I mean, you're getting bodies back though. But you got.
Right.
But in hockey, it's about Alain Vigneault putting the right pieces with the right guys with the right shifts. So you got to get a flow. It has to be a flow. Like you can't just put you can't put three guys. A center, two wings, and two defensemen. Well, the two defensemen, it ain't going to matter. But as far as the forwards and the center, you got to have some sort of camaraderie, know where you're going to be at on the ice, make sure you guys know where you're going. You need a lot of practice in between all that, too.
So wait a minute. So are they – okay, so Rams is playing tonight. So that means tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah, I think
they're gonna need them for the Kings. Kings ain't no game.
They're gonna need 2 points every way you could get. Let me say this, and we'll move on to the next squad. Let's put it like this: there's a logjam, seeds 2 through 8in the Eastern Conference, meaning the Rangers losing the tiebreaker as we speak right now to the Islanders. They will be actually going to Barclays if the playoffs were to start today. But on top of that, I mean, you got teams like Boston, who's been playing well, Toronto, Tampa Bay, who's been playing well, who came out of nowhere. And then, of course, Washington just ran away with the East. Now, you may have to see them all.
But Pittsburgh is coming, aren't they? I mean, pretty much.
They're coming. Yes, exactly. And they're coming. That, I mean, there's a lot of hard outs in the East. Everybody, to me, is very good. Anybody could beat anybody in this conference. Mm. It's going to be a crazy competitive 2016 Eastern Conference. Not like in the NBA, like where it's top heavy, maybe one seed, and everybody else is just average. No, this is everybody is good, very good. Quality, you got to be on your game. And I can see why some Rangers fans have been panicking on the Bleed Blue show, on blogs, the papers. I can understand it. I think Rangers fans out of the four teams, the Giants, Knicks, Yankees, they overreact the most. Maybe the Yankees are right behind that. The Giants may be a little bit more patient, and we already know what the story with the Knicks. So, I wanted to really discuss that more on the post game. We'll have to do the Rangers next week because, you know, West Coast time. We'll be in bed with the college basketball. That's the Rangers. Right. I got to get your thoughts on that maybe a little bit later in the thoughts. But there's some thoughts I haven't gotten from you, Chris. And what's up with the Yankees? This is your first time talking about the Yankees this season or this spring training. What's your thoughts of what you know of us? Or saw thus far in spring training with the Bombers.
Know. You caught me, Steve. I know they won today, but I don't really. I mean, Blue Jays won today, I think. Hold on. Let me look at it again. I got to find it.
The Yankees did beat the Blue Jays 2-1. You're right.
They did beat the Blue Jays? See, I can't. I don't have this in front of me.
Yeah, they did. They.
I do know.
Put it like this. Your expectations, because I know next week we'll be on with Kenny. But. Your expectations as far as – I'm going to throw some guys like Tanaka coming off the elbow. Elbow. What about – you know, you called it last year when we were sitting here exactly a year ago, me, you, and Kenny. A-Rod going for 30-plus home runs. We were like, no way, dude. No, there's no way that's happening. And he did.
Yeah, well, I knew he had something to prove. And I knew he was going to get everybody back that doubted him. So
you
I had no problem.
What about this year?
Say again?
Does he do it again this year?
No. I see a little bit of a drop-off this year. This year I see a decent performance. I see 19 home runs, 70 RBIs, and maybe 285, something that in around that line. But because A-Rod is old as dirt now, bro. I mean, he's been there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, goodness gracious. I don't even know. What, since 94-ish? Or something like that. I think he's a little long in the tooth, and that's okay. You know, he deserves that. But look, just like I said last year, when it comes to Yanks, I truly believe that there's a couple of players that need to be leaders this time. Okay, the main one I'm looking at is I think we need to see, and this is true. A lot of people don't think about this. But we really do need to see Brett Gardner really step it up this year in terms of leadership, in terms of being vocal, and finally, definitely performance.
Okay, stop right there. Intangible, then you said a tangible. Now, performance. Now, you know how I feel about Gardner. Me and you, Kenny, been on here. We analyze Brett Gardner in a microscope. He is what he is. Now, when you say performance, what are your expectations with performance?
I think you need to tie in his performance with his leadership abilities. I think he could be a great leader. I think he can. He's not afraid to talk. He's not afraid to be vocal. But I'm tired of seeing him disappear in August and September.
Make him sound like John Beeson, Chris. He sounds just like John Beeson.
Right.
He's a leader.
We'll talk about that later.
Where's the performance at?
We got it. Save the Giants. Save the Giants. The Giants have their own special crew.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh boy. Anyway.
He's had one good season that I could think of, and I think we said back in 2012, without looking at the stats.
Yes.
2012.
Yes. John Beeson is that guy. Okay, sir.
I'm done. I just wanted to put that out there.
No, you're right. you're right. Beeson is like that girl that says she wants to go out, and every time you come pick her up, she can't go. And you knock on the door and everything, and she just can't go. It is really, really frustrating to me. You know, Beeson has been frustrating to me continuously. But see, Beeson, you said the guard, you liking Gardner to Beeson. I'm sorry, I liken Mark Teixeira to Beeson. Okay, every year we get teased. We get teased by this guy. He'll come out May, June, and July, man. Part of July, man. And you look at his final stats, and he's 30 homers, 98 RBIs, 292. But August and September will show up, and either he's hurt or his bat is dead. And I'm really, really, really getting tired of that.
But you know, I thought he lasted longer than I expected. Actually, he went longer than I thought he was. Talking about this year.
Me too. What I want to know is, and I hope you can give me some information on this.
Sure.
What I want to know is what's going on in Yankee camp with Goose Gossage. Oh, I keep hearing some things about he's being critical about this, he's being critical about that. Brian Cashman won't come out. I keep hearing just he don't want the cameras around. He says something Newton's on his team and all of this kind of stuff. I'm just hearing stuff, but I'm hearing it second and third nature, and I was wondering.
But as a long Yankee fan and sports historian that you are, the Yankees operate more differently than most franchises in any sport.
Yes, they
have a different persona, characteristics. Everything's corporate with them.
Yes.
And I mean, that should have come surprising most people on blackballing certain things, even from certain Hall of Fame type players. It doesn't surprise me at all. Cashman, one of the, being the cameras and all that with Gossage and having little disagreements. It doesn't bother me at all. That's just how the Yankees are. That's just how they roll. Now, let me get back to Gardner real quick. All I can say is this, Chris, and me and you and Kenny have been on a million postgame shows with the Yankees last season. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's three things, really. The starting pitching, the durability, you question it. Now, I know Severino, hopefully he could add on to his very good performance last season. That's check number one. I'll keep an eye out on that. But guys like Pineda, guys like Tanaka, could they make it finally through a full MLB season? We haven't seen that yet.
We haven't. And I'm afraid – I don't want to say anything against my Yankees, man. You know I love the New York Yankees. I'm just a little bit – I'm not all the way convinced that we have a 162-game team here. I'm not really sure what we have. There's only one thing about the Yankees I'm absolutely sure of, and I am so glad. I'm so glad that Chapman he'll miss all of April and some of May. I'll take it. Because I saw a team, Steve, a long time ago in 1990 that Lou Piniella, former Yankee great, won the World Series with. The Cincinnati Reds of 1990. And, they had a great starter in Jose Rio, who was, again, former Yankee. But I know that in his bullpen, he had three guys, Norm Charlton, Randy Myers, and I'm trying to remember Rob's last name, Rob someone. And these guys were, thank you, they were lights out on bullpen. Teams hated to see that team coming because they were afraid. There were some teams that didn't want to chase the starter because they didn't want to face those three guys, and because they were dominant. I see the same thing happening with the 2016 New York Yankees, man. When you got Chapman, Miller, and Betances here doing their thing, it's going to cause wreck. I mean, they're going to wreck the show.
Two-part question to you on that.
Yes.
Now, you know about the 30-day suspension. You think Chapman got off easy on that? Because me and Kenny on the podcast, we We thought that that was about a right number for what that situation entailed without a conviction on top of it. 30 games was somewhat of a break. I thought MLB caught a – they were kind of – they were in – because a lot of – if you really want to be real about this, this is more carryover from the NFL domestic disputes with Greg Hardy,
yes.
Ray Rice. So MLB, yes. They see similar things with Chapman, and they got the benefit to watch other leagues drop the ball. And I think that's how they kind of handled it. But anyway, you think the 30 games was about
I think
right
it's appropriate.
Now.
I think it's appropriate. I know Chapman is satisfied with it. He missed some money, but that's okay. What it does for Chapman, a guy like him, a competitor like him, a mean relief pitcher like him, that has a tendency to, and also a guy that's getting a lot of counseling from some pitcher that we used to have in his team, number 42, a guy named Rivera. I think you know him. Okay, with that kind of influence, you know, when he comes back here, oh my God, he may be lights out, Steve. Look out for a show.
Okay? Part two of my question, how many games, okay, the Yankees won 86 games last year. How many games of a swing does the bullpen alone make the Yankees? Okay, now we know the 30 games without Chapman early on, but taking that into consideration, how many games do they go up in the standings or even down in the standings, depending on how you want to look at it?
I think the Yankees, because of and you got to throw in, it would be easy for me to say they'll go up 10, but wait a minute. Throw in injuries. But I know. So let's take that 10. Throw in injuries, throw in batting slumps, throw in one-run games, throw in free plays is very low percentage, but throw it in anyway, okay? I would say that the Yankees have at least, and also count that division, you're talking the Orioles, Blue Jays are coming in with a real, real swagger and stare here. Tampa Bay's might surprise us.
I never count them out. I learned not to count them out, man.
Yeah, I'm going to upswing the Yankees to 5 games, man.
The reason for that is that
yes, we have a formidable bullpen, but our starting pitching looks the same as it did last year, and I have to be convinced that they can right the ship. I got to make sure that Nova, Tanaka, CeCe, who am I missing? I'm missing somebody.
Severino.
Severino, and I'm missing somebody else.
Ivaldi, who's coming back, who was injured at the end of last year.
That's what I'm thinking of, Ivaldi, who won a lot of games. Kind of.
Yes, he did.
You know, I gotta.
He was done by the fifth inning, but he got you a lot of wins.
But he got us, what, 15 wins? No.
It was about 12 or 13 without looking at it. I can't remember.
Okay, I thought it was more than that. Okay, well, okay.
No,
it's okay. So, okay, now what I need to see is how about the bull? Why don't we have the starting pitching win 2 games more each, okay, than they did last year? Okay, right there. That's 10 wins. Okay, and then you're gonna add. So that's what I was looking at initially with that number.
Do you think Pineda could come out and dominate the way he did early last year? Remember, he had a lot of spectacular games early on, and he kind of fizzled out. And I asked you and Kenny, do you think he could keep this up? And you both said no, and you guys were right. So
yes, and I don't. And I'm look. What we'll need to. You know what we'll need out of Tanaka? I'll tell you what we'll need out of Tanaka. You know what we need out of Tanaka? A strong start. I'm not worried about the finish. But give us a good April and May, particularly with Chapman being gone and particularly with the bats getting used to chemistry, the team getting used to chemistry. Give us a strong start. Give us a 5-2 start, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shut up. I'll be satisfied with that. But don't give us a 3-3 start where you got blown out twice. by the third inning, your curveball just sucks, you know. And as a result, because the Yankees feed off their pitching. I don't know why, man, but for some reason, man, ever since I was a little boy, and also when I started, you know, covering the history way before I was born about the Yankees, for some reason, they when their starting pitching dies, the bats die. And that gets lost in history because we had such formidable bats and Hall of Famers on this team. But we need a strong start from our starting pitching. Our starting pitching. CC, if you got it together, Tanaka, Eovaldi, if you guys can give us at least a 600 percentage or at least 55 percentage of wins throughout, I mean, up until June, I think you're going to see some really nice fireworks from there on in. And we got to keep some bodies on the field too, man. You know, I think I really do think that the key to this team, and it's going to surprise you by me saying this, Steve, but the key to this team is Brett Gardner has to be, hey, he has to be upright all year long.
That sounds
really
good,
does.
But we got to see it. I'm leaning no. I don't see it, though. I agree with you.
I don't either.
I don't believe it.
But he has to be upright.
Baseball is the best sport of all the four that the statistics really tell the story of the player. I mean, they have statistics on everything, mm-hmm. how he runs mm-hmm. on the pads, how he gets on base, how he hits the ball, mm-hmm. his durability. And you could do a trend study, a statistics and analysis, and you could really read the statistics and know what player you are without even seeing his face. You could read the stats. He's like, okay, he's this type of player. He's a little banged up. Can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Baseball is dead on. And that's why it's so big on statistics and getting into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Because it mm-hmm. is true. Because you have 162 games to know what type of, not only player, but type of team you have after a marathon of a season. Like somebody said it best, like one game in football is like the equivalent of like 7-8 in baseball.
It sure is. It sure is. I totally agree with that. You know, my thing is, I always got a reference, Steve, the fact that Brett Gardner led the major leagues in steals, man, about maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. Since then, I don't know if he's even gotten 30. But that's not his fault. That's because the dynamics of the team dictated that he, let me backtrack. Some of it is his fault. He's known for some long slumps, and he gets frustrated easily. But if he stayed with his, he has leadership ability, and he knows Yankee history, and he knows he's the hot seat man, and he also knows he's one of the leaders of this squad for the young guys coming up. So if he can stay upright and be a lead, and he was an all-star last year, which even though he faded the second half of the year, that meant something. That meant something for somebody in pinstripes like him. So if he could go ahead and assume that role one more time, he was the first guy to stop because he doesn't do the smokes and tobacco anymore. That's another thing the Yankees are trying to – they can't really do it officially, but they're trying to tell their players, hey, man, get rid of the tobacco. Let's concentrate on winning. You know, I know that's a smaller story. A lot of people haven't been talking about that lately, but I noticed that. You know, he was the first one that says, I'm down. As a leader, I'm quitting first. You know, he was that guy that said, okay, maybe I ought to assume a little bit more responsibility here, and he's doing it. So I got to give him a lot of love. And if you go to Yankees games, you'll notice that the cheers for, and this is throughout, since he's been here, the cheers for him are getting a little bit louder, a little bit more comfortable. They almost remind me of when I was a kid, when I used to go to Yankee Stadium and Bobby Mercer started to get, first it was like, oh, he's taking Mickey's place. He's all right. But as the season started going on, he started assuming a little bit more responsibility and getting counseling from former Yankees players, anywhere from Joe Pepitone through Mickey himself and Elston Howard and people like that, Bobby started hitting. Bobby was like a 3 or 4-time All-Star for us, man. And I loved those years, him and Thurman Munson. We weren't winning anything, but he assumed that role. Well, I see that same thing Yankee tradition-wise with Brett Gardner. It's your time, dude. There's no Cano or Jeter here. This is the time for you to say.
I hear you on the pep talk, Chris. I just don't see it with Gardner. He's just not that kind of player. I don't see it.
He's not that kind of player, but the Yankees have a habit of pulling out the best in you. And this is the guy.
Now, I agree with you. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Bernie Williams is a particular example when pulling out the best in you. A guy who came along to start off his career slow, end up being a Yankee great out there, number 51 in center field. I hear you on that, but I don't know, man. If I haven't seen it by now and you're 32 years old, I don't think I'm ever going to see it unless you're juicing, unless you're on the juice, the roids or whatever.
Well, he knows better than that.
Now, you know better now because they're hitting cats up now. They're going to hit up for your suspensions. Real quick on the Knicks, let me ask you something. I know the season is over. I don't want too much time. And we've on every fan forum, on the forum for the fans of the Knicks, we have the infamous Knickerbocker. Shout out to Ev. We have these discussions. We just don't know what we're going to get with this team week to week. Now, we already know the season's over. Now, you lose those two – well, you lose the game at L.A., well, at the L.A. Clippers, but you win – the game Sunday, Calderon's game winning three with two-tenths of a second left. I guess my question, Chris, in the rumor that Roten officially signed to the Knicks as of today.
Yes.
Why? I know he has a knee injury. I guess the state of the franchise, Chris, real quick, and then I want to really get into some Giant stuff. Before we get off, but you sum up the Knicks real quick as far as future wise. You said it before. You said you believe in you believe in his regime, and you don't know what to expect out of Jackson. But what's your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Let me go back to what you just said about Tony Roten, who's a good player, 6'6". I don't know. Maybe he's about 2'10".
Mm-hmm.
He's got a nice handle. His style of play doesn't jive with a Phil triangle team, okay? He's the kind of point guard that has to have the ball all the time. You know, he has to push the tempo, I don't know, do a lot of pick and rolls. I don't know what we're doing, Steve. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. I have no idea. Listen, I had to tell Knickerbocker Ave the other day on Facebook, I said, man, I'm starting to come around to what you were saying. I have a lot of faith in this team because I've been with them since I was 8 years old, okay? Since there was an argument in front of my house, I'm sorry, on the side of my house with all the 10-speed bikes when my brother and all their friends were talking about, who the F is Dave DeBuccia? We don't need no other guy like that. And then look what happened later on that year, you know? I've been a fan ever since. And I live and die with this team. I love this franchise. And so does Phil Jackson. Okay? I just don't understand exactly what the motive is here. This season is over. I think what Roten is here for is hopefully that he can push Galloway or somebody else in the backcourt and show some kind of a grit here, but I don't know how he's supposed to fit into the triangle offense, and I don't know what it's going to be. He's a highlight. I think he has the potential to be a highlight film and become.
Do
a
you think a guy like Ron Harper? They're about the same height. Ron Harper's maybe a little – well, at the time when he came to the Bulls later in his career from the Clippers and the Cavaliers, he was more older playing, he more settled in his ways.
Yeah.
You think he'd be more of a defender-type player, maybe the knee limits him a little bit? See, Roland could get into the lane deeper than any Nick currently on the roster. Maybe Jerry and Grant can as well. They just don't use him. That's another topic for another day. But
They're not coaching him either. They're not coaching him either.
That's the thing that frustrates me the most about the Knicks.
Yeah, they're not coaching Jerry and Grant. Jerry and Grant has not gotten coaching
system. Really about the 2015-16 season, that irks me the most out of all the teams is because I know the team has talent. I know the team can make a playoff run. The coach sucks. The coaching sucks. The culture of the coaching sucks. That's why when I watch all these Knicks videos from, and shout outs to the fans, and give them credit, you know, they rep this, you know, the squads, and I see all these the stuff at Army last year, and the Knicks, that's all fluff, dude. That's all. You get to my age, that's all fluff.
Yes.
I gotta see it on. You could look. You go to the Garden. You could go to these Knicks games on the road. You could watch and see the body language of how a coach reaches players. You could just look at any other NBA team.
I agree.
It's really hard to go to the extremes, but extreme like a Popovich. But go to other teams in the league, like a Brad Stevens, for example.
Right.
He is getting the most out of the Boston Celtics. The most.
Yes, he is.
Easily.
And look at the players he's getting it out of. Sullinger.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah Thomas is looking more he's an all-star. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
Why? Because he bought completely into Stevens' system. What kind of system do the New York Knickerbockers have?
But you know what? This is more next season because Chris, the Vegas League, you know, at the Blee Blue show got to be out there. But anyway, that's what we'll discuss. But I want to see if they, you know, Roten is the non-guaranteed contract and all this other stuff or the details that come out. I want to see if he does come, and I know Carmelo's been campaigning for Rondo. I don't know why.
I have a thought about that after you finish. Go ahead.
This thing is about the coaches. It really doesn't go further than that with the Knicks to me because they have the talent. Aflalo's been up and down, but they all been up and down. But I think that a lot of that is due to the coaches. They say, the players play the game. I agree with you. But honestly, if they had the right coach to push the buttons, and this is why a lot of the Knicks fans were screaming for Tom Thibodeau or Mark Jackson, which I would have been cool with, either or, I think this team makes the AFC. I really do. With that right type of coach. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm so tired of this team.
I understand.
I am so tired of this. You know what? Look, the thing is, the problem with what you just said is that you're right. The first thing we needed to do is we needed to get some kind of chemistry on this team. We've never had it. Jerry and Grant is confused.
Yes, he is.
KP, confused.
He's dropped off.
Yes, he did. Especially
but
when,
I think
when
that's more
Rambo showed up.
Getting used to 82 games. He didn't play that many games over there, and you're like this, you know, versus the top athletes in the world.
That's so. Not all on him. I'm sorry. That's
I,
not
no,
all
I, no, I'm with you.
It's disastrous coaching that we've had this season.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to get Jibber for debt for a minute, and it's just this is a mess. This is a mess. Now, what would be helpful is Phil Jackson needs to come out because, listen, this isn't Sacramento where George Karl doesn't have to say what he wants to do with this team. Okay? This is New York City.
Yeah.
You need to come out and you need to say what exactly is your plan for this team.
And he will do that after the 82nd game of the year. He will do that after the season's over. He will do that.
While we're frustrated.
Exactly. We'll discuss more, Nick.
Can't do that anymore.
Next fan forum. Chris, last thoughts on the Giants. I mean, I want to get more of your thoughts on the free agent acquisitions. We had the show last Thursday with the free agency, and a lot of Giants fans, as you know, were excited. They are on the lines, happy as hell. What's your thoughts on the acquisitions itself? And then do you think there's some more left that Jerry Reese did not make?
Jerry Reese, I don't think is finished. I don't think he's finished. I think he wants to really, really – you know what? You know what I like, Steve? I like the fact that they're interviewing a lot of players. You know? The latest – this is just – see, normally I don't listen to the rumors, but the guys that are being rumored are now actually visiting the Giants. You know, I kind of like that. Or they're making their intentions known of visiting the Giants. And I kind of dig that. You know, the latest right now is Donald Penn.
He's old man. He's like 32, man. I don't know about him.
He is, but you're not. They're not signing him for 12 years You know, it's a stopgap kind of situation. And what happened over there in Oakland, man, when he signed the African guy, I can't remember his name, Oshemeli or whatever it is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
When he showed up, that made Penn expendable. But Penn is in great shape. Okay, so now, you know, he's gonna meet with the Giants. He's actually gonna meet them. Right.
Well, yeah, I guess he has no leverage, or he lost a lot of leverage if he getting released.
He lost a lot of leverage, but he can help his leadership. You know, he doesn't have to look, man. He doesn't have to be here long.
He's our right tackle.
Let me tell you, and you know better than anyone else in this world that right tackle would be he'd be an upgrade for anything we tried last.
Well, that's good point.
I kind of like that. The thing is, I like the fact that the New York Football Giants are being aggressive on the free agent market, and while this is going on, their draft squad is really doing some hardcore evaluation. This is a new regime.
When we get to our draft show, we're going to have that draft show live on draft night. I can't wait to do that. Here's the thing about the Giants. Okay, let's say we put Penn at right tackle. That means Bobby Hart is competing. You would think he'd be the favorite, or somebody like Brett Jones from the Canadian Football League. One of those two guys make that right guard position. Your line is straight. Mm-hmm. Your line is good. Mm-hmm. It ain't great, but it will work. We can make it work. We already know. We know the right side of the line was the Achilles heel on the offense. We know that. So it's really everything's got to go defense for the most part. Unless you are the Giants, you go best player available, right?
Correct.
So, okay.
Correct.
Now, some Giant fans were upset about, you know, I don't get into the rumors here on the Bleed Blue show. I like to stick with facts or things that actually happened. Okay, Eric Weddle, he goes to, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. He got paid, he got multi-year contract. So why would you be upset on him getting all those years, but you were not trying to get all that money to intro roll a couple of years ago? What's the difference?
I think it's a little different
safety to a degree. Eric Wells more free safety. He could come up in the box, but and Rose more in the box per se. But why would you get mad at a deal? See, that's the things I don't. You know, that's why I don't try to get into the keyboard GM stuff or the armchair executives. but help me in the logic. What other positions, Chris? What are we missing right now on paper?
They're talking about Matt Burhey going ahead and starting at safety. And I'm kind of on the fence about that. I think we need another safety, but part of me is like, okay, with these new players surrounding him, maybe Burhey has a chance to shine here. So I'm really kind of on the fence here. I don't really know what to say concerning that yet.
There's no other free safety out there. We said it on the show. Right. There was, at the time, Raheem Moore. He was 26 with the Texans. He's decent. Right. Everybody else is old. To me, when I say old, you know, they're over 30. So, including Weddle at the time, he's no longer available. So, I mean, do you go draft? You got to go draft, right?
You got to go draft. And if you go draft, you got to probably do it. We have to get a safety. Look, let's be honest. We have to get a safety like in the third round. Second round.
Okay.
Okay, we got to go that far.
What about the linebackers?
Because that's why we have to go safety in the third round, because we need two quality linebackers right away, Steve. Not tomorrow, not in a couple of years, not in a few times from now. We need to go away with some linebackers. You know, right away.
They're going to neglect it.
You know what? You know what? I'm hearing things out there. I'm hearing Leonard Floyd from
Georgia.
Because
I was asked about that earlier today by anonymous Giants fan. I'm not going to mention no names. Yeah. I watched some Georgia. Let me tell you about Georgia real quick. I know we're running out of time about him, and I'll get back.
Okay.
When it comes to Georgia players this past season under Mark Richt, in the biggest of games when they needed to show up, i.e. the Alabama game, those guys disappeared. I don't care what they do. I do not care what they do on the pro day. When you need to play the biggest game of the season, you don't show up as that whole team did. All of them didn't show up. I'm not a fan. But I hear you on the linebackers. I know Reese went to his pro day. I get that.
We have to have a linebacker. We have to have two quality linebackers, dude. Quality linebackers. And we might as well go ahead and get them in a draft. We might as well, look, get these young boys with these young legs, get these go-getters from decent programs, and just don't depend on the damn, what do you call it all the time? The combine all the time, man.
Yeah.
There's some other guys out there. Stryker out in Oklahoma looks good. Scooby Wright out of Arizona, he's cool. You know, Leonard Floyd. I think you're right on your point. Miles Jack, I love, but he'll be gone. He's got to be gone. If he lasts till the 10th pick, we got to get him. But I think he'll be gone. But okay. we have to address the line. And the reason I say this in the draft seat is that we need two linebackers that are going to hang out here for at least 6 or 7 years.
We can't go through this thing again, bro.
We had no linebackers the last 2 years. None.
Two.
Longer than that.
I say more than that. I mean, Kennard filled in nice in his rookie year, but outside of that, nah, man. We need horses, man. But you know what? You know, I can't get a read on the way they draft. They leave a lot of picks on the table. They definitely do.
Steve, you and I saw a show about the Giants draft team.
Finding Giants.
And you know what? I like the way the organizational chart sets them up, man. They got different. Let me check my time here. Okay, we got 3 quick minutes. I'm gonna say this real quick. I like the way it's organized, where different scouts handle different regions and get really nicely detailed reports. I think that's beautiful. It's wonderful. But the Giants have a tendency when they get together, and I noticed this during that show, when they get together, everybody gets together at the table, and after all these months and months and sometimes years of scouting these players, they get together and they all of a sudden just kind of drop the ball and say, well, we changed our mind. Let's go with this guy. You know, they got lucky. I feel they got lucky with Beckham, okay, because they saw him at the combine and went, ooh. We talked about that one time on one of the podcasts.
They went, ooh.
We may not be able to pass this up, and I'm glad they did. But see, at the same time, they wouldn't have been wrong because Zach Martin, at the time, was one of the he was the one that they were looking at, him and I can't remember his name, Tyler Eifert, I believe his name was, that ended up
tight end.
No. He was an offensive lineman. Tyler.
No. You're talking about the left tackle for the Titans. You're talking about Taylor Lewan.
Taylor Lewan. Sorry. Yeah.
I remember those guys.
And all of a sudden, they saw Beckham. They went, "Oh, you know what? If he's there, we can't pass that up." Luckily, it worked out, and it'll probably be working out all the way to Canton for them. But they have a habit. I can't get a read on their stuff either because they have a habit. Mark Reed and those guys have a habit of locking into a certain system that they have and then dropping the ball at the end. And they can't keep doing that because it's frustrating us. So, I don't know. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow night on the podcast, Steve. But go ahead and say your thing.
They overspend it for the free agents. But we as Giant fans, we definitely understand why they did it. You had to upgrade that horrific defense, Chris. I went to probably the most heartbreaking games of the season last year, New Orleans and Dallas. You were at the Patriot game. More to say about that. But
that hurt.
I don't mind if they go defensive end in the draft. Get Double O, get him some reps, get him stronger. Mm-hmm. JP, mm-hmm. Olivier Vernon. Wow, mm-hmm. I like. Then you got the two run stuffers in the middle and rotate that with Brown. Mm-hmm. I like that. Matter of fact, I would mind DN in the first round, depending on who's available, best player available on their board. Chris, but we're out of time. Talking a little bit of March Madness, Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers, KGYR. Any quick thoughts before we get off? I know we got a couple seconds left. Real quick.
No, let's holler again. Let's do this tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, stakeholders. Let's do this again with the Giants podcast and see where further on this conversation leads. Bleed blue.
Now, real quick, I'm gonna slip this in. I know the other playing game going on right now, and if Michigan loses, We have a mutual friend, Chris, that we won't say any names. I'm going to definitely rub it in that person's face if Michigan loses to Tulsa. By saying Michigan, between me and you, we know who that is. No, we don't know. No,
yes, we are going to leave it right there, too. All right, Steve, Bleed Blue, thank you, everything.
Yes, sir, Bleed Blue. Check out all the audio archives, everybody. Enjoy it.
Please do. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?